Music in Emmanuel. Why do we do music in Emmanuel the way we do it? How should churches do music? What does it mean to be biblical with our music? And does it matter that much? So what if we're not? Well, Dean, our director of music, and I are both so encouraged by Emmanuel's music. And so here are some thoughts on the subject which he and I have been sharing recently. For this episode, I'm also drawing on an excellent little book called Congregational Worship by Matt Merker, which I recommend. So let's dive in. Ephesians 5:19 commands believers to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And so we can see that singing has two audiences, the Lord and each other. It's an act of worshiping God and serving and encouraging each other. And this means that as believers, we have a big responsibility to sing. We don't need to receive a great musical performance. You'll always get a far better one than Emmanuel can provide from YouTube or Spotify or the radio or a concert. No, what we really need when we gather together for the single most important hour of the week at our family reunion on the Lord's Day is to sing. And what helps with this is remembering that our music is primarily for worshiping God more than giving us good feelings. If we're spiritually and emotionally healthy, and if the Lord is gracious, and if we happen to be feeling it that morning, we may well enjoy great feelings as we worship Him. Praise God for that. But our worship should be God-centered, first of all, not self-centered. When I worship, it's not all about me and how the music makes me feel. And in fact, our sense of personal fulfillment at the music will often ebb and flow. It'll be affected by things like how well we slept, whether we had our coffee, what the weather's like, whether we're stressed about other things on our minds. So regardless of how we're feeling, the most important thing is just to go ahead and give God the glory He is due by raising the voices He gave us for that exact purpose. The Bible's injunction for us to sing also impacts on how we do the band. Now, the New Testament never commands us to use instruments. We're free to use instruments, of course, and the priests in the Old Testament played them in the temple, but the New Testament simply commands us to sing. So the congregation is the main musical act, and the band is there to accompany them and support them. Now, of course, the band aims for excellence and beauty in the music it produces, but primarily it's there as a kind of semi-invisible helper to support the congregation in singing up. And this is why we also place the band off to one side in church. They are deliberately not center stage. This is also why we keep the band small and their volume low. And my dream scenario is when the band is doing their job so well that they are basically drowned out by the congregation. It's also why the band typically drops out from playing a hymn's final verse or chorus. That helps to push the congregation out of the musical nest, as it were, and gets us to spread our own musical wings. To quote Matt Merker's book, Congregational Worship, this helps the congregation hear themselves and reminds them that the singing is mainly up to them. When the voices are the only thing happening, people step up to the plate and sing out. Well, finally, let me share some thoughts on our repertoire on Sunday mornings. And you will have noticed that we sing hymns, both ancient and contemporary. And again, there is very deliberate thinking behind this. Our love and our unity matter way more than our individual personal musical preferences. And trying to please everyone's different preferences is a classic recipe for church disunity. Trust me, I've seen it so many times over the years. And so picking one simple style and sticking to it is a great leveler. And I don't know this, I would assume that there are many folks in Emmanuel who might prefer pop or classical or hip-hop or jazz or folk or rock or country or other musical styles over hymns. Praise God for those styles. Those preferences should be deeply enjoyed for the glory of God throughout the week. And then when we're together, we get to pursue unity in Christ, which supersedes different musical tastes. And Keith Getty said it very powerfully. He said it like this: the message of some churches today seems to be only sing if it appeals to your sense of style or your demographic. And yet, Getty goes on, when we look at heaven, we see that every tribe and every nation will sing together. Well, there are three other main advantages of hymns. Number one, they're easier to sing for those who are less musical because the verses are repetitive and usually simple. And as such, actually, hymns are purpose-built for congregational singing. Number two, as well as contemporary music and lyrics, hymns allow us to access the best of previous centuries, the glories of the ancient, as well as the best of the modern. And number three, compared to some styles, hymns often carry theologically rich, substantive lyrics, allowing the Word of God to dwell in us richly as we sing, as Colossians 3:16 says it should. To be honest, the congregational singing in Emmanuel is some of the best I've ever had in a church I've been part of. And Dean, our director of music, said the same for himself as well. And so I thank God for our singing. Please be encouraged, and may that continue. In 2025, please be brave and throw away any inhibitions you might have that stop you singing with passion when we come together as a church family. And especially you guys, speaking as a guy to the guys, please don't do the easy thing of just standing there and letting others do the heavy lifting. Have the courage and determination to raise your voice on a Sunday morning, whether you feel like it or not. And as well as honoring the Lord and blessing those around you, you may be surprised at what that does to your heart.